գրադարձ, սիրելի հայրենակիցներ եւ ռադիո ունկնդիրներ Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամին, առաջի կեսին զրուցում ենք մեր ընկեր եւ տարիներով փորձառություն ունեցող ուրեմն համասարանական աշակերտներու եւ նաեւ high school աշակերտների խորհրդատու Դանիել Մեհրաբյանի հետ. Դանիելի հետ խոսեցինք ուրեմն առաջի կեսին process-ի մասին, թե ինչ դժվարություններ, ինչ արգելքներ կան ընդհանրապես աշակերտի համար, եւ ինչ ձեւով Դանիելի պես ուրեմն մասնավոր ոլորտից խորհրդատուներ կարող են օգտակար լինել ընտանիքների, աշակերտների, որպեսի դյուրությամբ կամ ավելի համեմատաբար ավելի դյուրությամբ կարողանան ուրեմն պլանավորել, ծրագրել եւ ճիշտ դասերը ուրեմն առնել, աշակերտները առնել, երբ high school-ում են, որպեսի ուրեմն այդ process-ը, ճիշտ համալսարանը, իրենց ձգտած համալսարանը մտնելու համար ավելի սահունանա. Dear listeners, speaking with Daniel about process and the certain pitfalls that are inherent in the college admission process that private education counselors like Daniel are well aware of and are able to navigate through. We focused on that in the first half of the show. In the second half, I'm curious to learn how the COVID-19 era that we're living in now has impacted Daniel's professional work and the sort of adjustments that Daniel has been forced to undertake in order to guarantee safety yet value for his clients. Daniel, could you give us a summary of how you're navigating through this uncharted era, the COVID-19 era?
Sure. So the challenges that have come up have been mainly due to the lack of having face-to-face meetings with students, which has made it difficult in the sense that, you know, when you have a face-to-face meeting, the impact of your work is different than when you are distant. But fortunately, you know, because of technology and the different tools that are available, we've been able to move our work from meeting students to meeting them virtually online through different online providers such as Zoom, such as Skype or Google Hangout. The change has been pretty good, you know, in terms of you know, the meetings. I haven't had many issues in terms of meeting with my students, so it's been a smooth transition. You know, obviously we're hoping you know, that things are going to get better, you know, being in the month of July, already having been in this kind of circumstance since March. We're hoping that things will get better, and with the measures in place to protect families and us as professionals, as educators, we'll be able to return to similar kind of setup as we had before the pandemic occurred.
I'm glad to hear that you were able to pivot pretty smoothly, and as were your clients, to a virtual meeting spaces, and to be able to provide your professional counseling, you know, using such mediums. Without going into too much detail, obviously, Daniel, because it is your work after all. But for our dear listeners, parents of children in middle or high school, would you be willing on this program right now to share tidbits of advice on a plan of action working in conjunction with their son or daughter for college preparation, application, and also admission and post-admission? Are you willing to share a few tidbits with our listeners, many of whom are parents and grandparents.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. So we can start with the rising seniors, which are the class that will be applying starting August, because the university applications in California open up August 1st. Just to start preparing, writing their personal statements, because the questions to the personal statements have already been published and are out there. Just work on getting their drafts. Most of my work is helping students communicate about themselves to the universities, which is the window through which the university will make an assessment of whether the student is an appropriate fit on their campus. So the personal statement becomes the first and becomes the window, becomes the integral part of their presentation of an advocacy of themselves to the university. So for the rising seniors, the shift goes into opening their applications, preparing and looking over and selecting their personal statements and what they're going to focus on. The universities, one of the requirements that now is not, they've said that they're not going to require, but is the standardized exam, which is the SAT and ACT. They've said that they will not make that a requirement. The UC system has said that, but they will take the score into consideration should a student choose to submit the score. And I always tell my students, you know, if they're going to take a look at it, why don't we take the test? So another advice I would share with students is they spend the summertime now preparing for the SAT to be able to take it starting August. They're going to have an opportunity to take that exam from August to December. So that's another advice, just preparing. There are a lot of tools that they can use to prepare. For students and families that are listening that are familiar with the process, College Board is the company which houses the SAT exam, and there are a lot of tools there, such as Khan Academy, which is an a tutorial program that has a relationship with College Board, and they do a free analysis of the student's practice SAT exam, and then they customize questions based on the areas of weaknesses that students have, so they can actually do a free practice, free tutorials at home in preparation for taking the exams later on in the summer and into the fall.
So helpful, the Khan Academy. Yeah.
Yes. I was just going to say, for students that are younger, they need to make sure that they're taking the right courses with the right amount of rigor. Making sure that they're challenging themselves. A lot of students, they want to take, easier courses, but, I make sure that they understand that by them taking more advanced courses and adding rigor to their course load, it increases their value for college admissions. So reviewing that, for parents that are listening and seeing what courses their children are taking, a lot of students are now having online meetings with their school counselors in terms of selecting courses for the fall semester of this upcoming year. So doing an analysis of that and making sure that it's the right level to challenge them, but it's not it's not so much where it's gonna be too tough for them, but just the right amount where they can show that they've taken the right level of rigor. And then finally, another tidbit that I can give is extracurricular activities. It's important that the students stay productive. Families are at home. they don't have access. Students are not able to go to different work sites to do job shadowing or to do volunteer work. But there are ways the students can demonstrate an area of passion. And I always say, if a student, for instance, is a prodigy in music, or if they play the piano really well or a musical instrument, they can create online communities, let's say, where they're teaching other kids, other students, how to do the basics of piano or basics of violin. Or of art. Students are more artistic, in their temperament, in their ability. Or if they're going to be online, maybe students, if they're good writers, maybe they can write blogs. They can create a website and kind of express their passions through that type of a medium. So staying productive, taking the right course load, preparing for their standardized exams, using the tools that are available for them, and starting their college applications if they're older or if they're students that are becoming seniors or rising seniors. I think those are some things that I can I would like, I'm sharing with the audience, that those are certain things that they can do.
And that's very very helpful, the tidbits of advice that you've provided over the year. Dear listeners, if you're interested in taking a deeper dive with Daniel, his company is called EduPros USA. That's EduPros USA. Daniel, could you share the website as well? Web domain?
Yes. Sure. So our website is www.eduprosusa.com. You can reach me directly by calling me. I can share my cell phone number. It's area code 818-919-3209. And also you can email us at eduprosusa@gmail.com.
Excellent. Daniel, we have about 7 minutes left in our broadcast, and you're of Armenian descent, as am I. This is the Armenian Assembly of America weekly radio hour. I'm curious, as a fellow Armenian, if you work with any of the private Armenian day schools in greater Los Angeles. Do you work with them? Do you work with Armenian students in general?
Yes, of course. Our company is located in Glendale, and most of my clients are Armenians, Armenian families and Armenian students. I work with Glendale Unified School District schools. I also work with Armenian private schools. To name a few, I work with Mesropian's school, Armenian school. I work
in Pico Rivera.
Yes, in Pico Rivera. I work with AGBU, both the one that was in Pasadena and in Canoga Park. And Chamblion is another school that I work with. So I definitely, work with Armenian families. One of my goals has been to shed more light into the area of college admissions in the Armenian community, because it has been something new in our community, especially in the Glendale area. So my goal has been to provide information, educate parents as to how the process works, so they make informed decisions for their children and for their families. So it's been a privilege. More and more Armenian families are taking more interest in this area, and they're asking questions and they're showing interest in understanding just how the process works. And Miran, I just feel it's such an important part of what we do because we're training our future generations. We're preparing them. We're giving them the tools and the knowledge and the networks to be able to be successful. And as an Armenian, I feel, you know, having a strong diaspora, you know, is good for our community, is good for our nation. So in that sense, I feel like I'm, you know, it's a service to our community. It's a service, you know, that is rendered, that makes us stronger. It makes us better. You know, it makes us, it gives us opportunities to do more for our, for the Armenian cause. So it's rewarding in that sense.
It certainly is. And I applaud you for steering families and students in the proper direction. Many families, of course, would not get this, unfortunately, in a public school, as you know, and you mentioned earlier during the first half of our conversation about the staggeringly high ratio of students to, you know, 600 or so is what you mentioned to each counselor. So what you're providing certainly has much benefit to parents. We have about 3 minutes left, Daniel. Back when I was in high school, there were opportunities for high schoolers to take courses at local colleges and get credit for them, and then those would be college credits that would already added, and you know, as soon as a student started their college career. Is that still happening these days? Do you see it happening where certain high schools have a relationship with a local college, whether it's a community college or a four-year college, and high school, you know, juniors and seniors, especially those who can drive cars, have access to such courses? We've got 2.5 minutes left.
Yes, this trend has increased over the years, and taking courses at a community college is more prevalent and highly encouraged now. Because students can, as you mentioned, can acquire college units and are able to transfer those units to a four-year university or towards their two-year degree if they choose to go to a community college. And there are relationships between colleges and high schools. So community college courses can be taken at high school. And students can acquire a degree at the same time that they're going to high school. So there are different ways of kind of customizing that, depending, again, on what the student's goals are. I always recommend students to take a few classes in high school, college courses in high school, just to give them more of a the experience of taking a college-level course, and of course the added benefits of the courses counting towards, you know, their university credits, overall units, for the degrees that they're interested in pursuing. Not only that, it does make them also stronger candidates if they go directly from a high school to a university. It functions just as if they were to take an advanced placement class or an honors class at the high school level. So the universities will attribute a higher value on the courses that they take at a community college. So overall, it's a great opportunity to supplement and augment their high school curriculum by taking community college courses. And I make this recommendation to my students all the time, and I encourage them to do their classes.
That's great to know that continues. It was quite prevalent back in my time in high school, roughly 25 years ago. Actually, it's longer than that, about 30 years ago. So with that, dear listeners, I'd like to thank today's guest on our program. We're honored, Daniel, to have you as our dear guest. And you've shed quite a bit of light on a facet of a student's, a child's development that does not get as much attention in society as it should. We are grateful for the wonderful and pivotal work that you do for students and families in guiding them into the right university. For some, that might be a community college to start off with. For others, it's diving right into a four-year college or university. Again, listeners, our guest today was Daniel Mehrabian, a college admissions private consultant in the greater Los Angeles area, who's been doing his instrumental work for over 15 years. Daniel Shachnarakalink, Zinner Gayutian Hamar, Yev Husovenk Noritz Gagak Mir Haitagribra.
Sirov Yeselem Musum Shrakalichun Haidnelzes, Yev Geretsik Gorsovor Duk Anumek Hai Jovosiamar, Yev Mir Hai Mshakuitiamar. And it was a pleasure joining you, Miran. I thank you so much for the invitation.
Shachnarakalichun. Sireri Ratiungdiner, Minch Norhandi Bumner, Hajot Shapat, Arosh Manatsek, Lav Manatsek, Yev Hajotuner. Thank you.